The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is day 5 of this 7-day session here at Mountain Gate in the high mountains of northern New Mexico. And on a rather curious day, another curious day in a week of curious days. Perhaps it mimics the interior workings of Sesshin. First it rains and then it snows. Then the valley is filled with mist and then snow, blinding snow, white out, then turning to rain again. How often our mind functions in a similar way. Perhaps always our mind functions in a similar way, to be honest. We go through different mind states, some more positive, some we judge to be more negative. And it's a constantly changing scene. Have you ever explored your mind? Really explored your mind? Have you followed down the route of your thoughts, trying to search out the source of these thoughts? Have you ever taken a hard look at assumptions? Really, are they accurate? Or maybe they're residues of conditioning? Words that somebody else taught you, or ideas you came to the conclusion of when you were much younger. The workings of your mind, deeply mysterious. Many years ago at the Rochester Zen Center, it was very obvious going around in Keenheen that Gordy Bruin was getting deeply focused, quite deeply absorbed. And to be sure, during that session, he was passed on his breakthrough koan, which meant that he had some level of kensho. Kensho being Japanese, translating to seeing into, regarding seeing into the nature of reality. Seeing into the nature of reality. Not seeing all the way through the nature of reality. Seeing into the nature of reality. But that seeing into is significant. And after Sesshin, he said to me, I wish somebody told me a long time ago, it's about exploring your own mind. It's about exploring your own mind. So don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything as the law. Mind state comes up. Tune in. Feel the energy of it in your body. Search for where it came from. I don't mean an idea of where it came from. I mean its very source. And while you're at it, search for the one that is feeling it, or seeing it, or hearing it, or assuming it. Because who you are is not this gathered batch of thoughts and ideas and assumptions and conditioning that seems to define how you see your life, how you interact with others, how you live, whether you're happy or sad in a given moment. It's important. It's vital, really, to question to its core, because it's all a story. And what's behind the story, beyond the story, beneath the story, is the only truth there is. And as it says in the Bible, the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. The truth of who you really are. So search deeply. And I said that Gordy had had a breakthrough. He had had a kensho, a seeing into the true nature of reality. And that doesn't mean a seeing all the way through. There are shallow kensho experiences, deeper kensho experiences, and deeper kensho experiences yet. But they're all seeing into. When you see into, you take the lid off a pot of stew on the stove, and you take a look inside the pot, you see into the pot. You're not seeing all the way to the bottom. Not the first time. Or even the second time, possibly even the third time, or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth or ninth or tenth time. The great Zen master Hakuin, credited with single-handedly bringing life back into the Rinzai sect in Japan in the 1700s, spoke of having had 19 major kensho experiences, countless minor ones. He started practicing when he was a child, even years before he begged his parents to let them ordain him as a Buddhist monk. He used to go up in the woods where there was a rock that he kind of thought looked like a figure of Kuan Yin. And he used to sit down there and search his mind. 8, 9, 10 years old. It wasn't until he was 14 that he was allowed to become ordained as a Buddhist monk. And what followed then was involvement in a sect that emphasized exploring the sutras. It wasn't until a few years later that he actually changed over to the Zen sect. But nonetheless, he was doing his own form of meditation, searching, searching, searching for a way to avoid hell. And it wasn't until he was in his 50s that he had that 19th kensho that finally wiped away all his doubts, all his concerns, all his anxieties, all his fears. That doesn't mean that Gordy Bruin's kensho wasn't significant. It doesn't mean that a moment or an hour or several hours or several days of clear seeing in any one of us is not significant. It is. This is only to warn you that there's more to understand, more to see, more to open to, more free to become. So search. Explore. And do it through extending the out-breath. As you extend the out-breath, let the yearning to understand take it deep. Reach deep within. And when you find yourself caught in a mind state, turn, embrace it, feel it, and be curious. Where did it come from? What's its source? Not what psychological reason is it there for, but what is its source? Along the way, if you discover the psychological reason for it, that's fine, and that can be enlightening in its own way. But to take it to the source is to find yourself truly liberated. In the meantime, it doesn't matter what kind of mind state comes up. It's all wonderful fuel for practice. None of it is bad. And it's important, we're so accustomed to judging ourselves harshly. It's important to also take a look at that. Feel down to the roots of that as well. Anything that comes up in our mind, trace it down. Trace it down. I'd like to share more of Richard Wehrman's poems, in particular one called The Well. This is from his book, Light Was Everywhere. And I have a whole lot of flags in here. Let's see if I can find the proper one. May it take me a minute. Here we are. For most of his life, he carried his most precious gift hidden, guarded and protected, the water of life. Golden, radiant, glowing and warm, held in a crystal heart, brilliantly transparent, hung from a chain of woven rubies, unseen inside the plainness of his robe, and clasped behind his neck. So that night, when something called him, when he stumbled in the dark, led by the sound of rivulet and warble, out into the vast and treeless desert under the blooming gem field of the black night sky, who can tell what brokenness was opened, what frozenness flowed away, when in his laughter and in his tears he holds in the morning light the crystal heart, unstoppered, holds it filling, overflowing, filling once again and in the bubbling stream that surges up unending from the ringed rocks, golden in the morning sun, that rim the brightness flowing from the well. One more time. For most of his life, he carried his most precious gift hidden, guarded and protected, as we all do. The water of life, golden, radiant, glowing, and warm, held in a crystal heart, brilliantly transparent, hung from a chain of woven rubies, unseen inside the plainness of his robe, and clasped behind his neck. So that night, when something called him, when he stumbled in the dark, led by the sound of rivulet and warble, out into the vast and treeless desert, under the blazing gem field of the black night sky, who can tell what brokenness was opened, what frozenness flowed away, when in his laughter and his tears he holds in the morning light that crystal heart unstoppered, holds it filling, overflowing, filling once again in the bubbling stream that surges up unending from the ringed rocks, golden in the morning sun, that rim the brightness flowing from the well. That well is within each one of you. That well is within each one of you. As we explore our mind, as we extend the out-breath, we become unfrozen. The crystal heart becomes unstoppered. And the well flows. Thank you for listening, and we'll stop now and recite the four vows.